to the book of Psalms 121. Psalm 121, if you would. By God's grace, we're going to finish up verse number 8, and the psalm will be complete until we get our mid-year review and then our end-year review of Psalm 121. Our theme all year long is "My help cometh from the Lord." And we've been looking at Psalm 121. Of course, the overall theme is Psalms for the soul. But as we contemplate on something that we want to hang our hat on, we want to call on the Lord throughout this year whenever we get into a situation of distress or whatever it is, even just regular old times, amen. Call on the Lord to help you out, and he will be there. Today, we're going to look at it from a more practical standpoint. Thus far, we've been kind of looking at verses 1 through 7 and kind of looking at the providential care of God overall on our lives. But today is going to be practical. Now it comes down to the rubber meets the road, so to speak. God's going to watch over us, but what do you do in that? Amen. And you say, "Preacher, I thought God just watched over me. I don't have to do anything." Oh, no, there's something you got to do. Amen. And so today, the practical part of what you do to help God to preserve you. Amen. Everybody at Psalm 121, say amen. Any old me's? Amen. All right. Read with me together Psalm 121, verses 1 down through 8. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Amen. Today we're going to be focusing primarily on verse number 8, dealing with Psalm 121. The psalmist concludes with the idea that no matter if he's going out for something or if he's coming in from something, his Lord is going to preserve him, or he's going to guard him, or his Lord is going to protect him from this present time and even any future time, he says. And that's a tall order, amen. If you're counting on God to protect you from this time forth and even forevermore, amen, that's a tall order. But we've got a tall God, amen. That would mean that no matter what dilemma or dire need comes up, he is preserved. He's protected, or he's watched over, or he is kept, so to speak. In 2015, you and I will need that type of preservation. We don't know what 2015 is going to bring. We don't know what is going to happen in this year. And a constant vigilant watch from Almighty God over everything that we do is of a great necessity in our lives. Every move throughout this year, whether we're going out or coming in from our daily activities, we want God to be a part of that. And we want him to protect us. In 2015, things may take us out to something that we've never faced before. We want to make sure that we're able to come back from that thing at the close of 2015, having been under the watchful, preserving eye of the Lord. Now, you think about it, this is the early time. This is early 2015. Not much drama has unfolded in your life as of yet. But wait till we come to December. And you'll be able to look back on the year. You want to be able to look back and say, "Lord, you have preserved my going out. And Lord, as I come into the close of 2015, you preserved me from this time forth and even forevermore. And because you did that in 2015, I can trust you that much more in 2016. And that's what this is all about. Psalmist says, "You know what? I don't care if I'm going out or coming back in. God is going to take care of me. He's going to watch me. He's going to protect me. He's going to guard me." But wait a minute. There's something that you have to do. In order for a child to be protected by your words, the child has to obey what you say. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. If we want God to protect us, to preserve our soul even forevermore, we want him to be our keeper, then we've got to be in the keeping zone, so to speak. There's enough bad that's going to befall us as it is. We don't want to be outside of God's care. And so today's message is going to be primarily concerned about what you need to do for God to preserve your going out and your coming in, because there is something that he desires of you. And now it gets practical. Yes, we have an omnipotent God. Yes, we have an omniscient God. Yes, we have an omnipresent God, but he has a will that he wants you to walk in. And he says, within this parameter, I'll bless you. I'll keep you. I'll watch over you. But you get outside of this, I'll let all sorts of things happen to you that really don't need to happen to you. I don't know about you, but I want to be preserved. Amen. I want to be preserved. Father, bless now in this morning's message, God, as we look at the practical side of what is going on here. Lord, we know that miraculously you can heal, and Lord, miraculously you can take care of us. But Lord, you've given us something far greater than the miraculous. You've given us the practicality of your word, and it is inspired. It is preserved. It is eternal. And it is that which will keep us in all of our ways. God, I pray that as we look at today's message, we might reflect upon January. Lord, we may look to February. Lord, if you tarry your coming, we can look on into the remaining months left in this year and say, no matter if I'm going out to something or if I'm coming back in from something, I need preservation. I need you to be watching me and keeping me and protecting me. Lord, I pray that we may do that which is practical in the Word of God by applying your written word to our lives. Oh, Lord, we know you can do the miracles. Lord, oftentimes we don't need the miraculous. We just need the supernatural ordering of your word in our lives. And we need to uphold it and adhere to it to be kept and preserved by Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed word that you've given us. Thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, whom you've given to us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Lord, as we go forth into this sermon today, if there's one man or one boy or one girl or one lady that has never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, may they be arrested with the omnipotence of Almighty God. Lord, with the presence that there is a real hell, but there's a real heaven, and there's a real God that loves them. Lord, may they come face to face with what will they do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, and receive him as they repent of their sins and turn to God and receive that forgiveness of sin. For us as Christians, Lord, may we have our way preserved by adhering to the word of God today. And Lord, see the practicality of it, the beauty of it, and then, Lord, walk in it. Thank you for meeting with us today, Lord. Heal the sick. Bless those that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Brother Brad's got the message special today.
Shackled by a heavy burden. Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and he made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, to praise him, I'll shout. held it while eternity rose. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and he made me whole. He touched me, oh, I know he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and he made me whole.
He's touched you. You know what he's talking about. Amen. That is the touch of the Master's hand, amen, for salvation in all situations and circumstances you may have found yourself in. Praise God. Good to be in God's house again. Thank you for those that prayed for me. If you were here on Wednesday, amen, I sound a whole lot better than I sounded on Wednesday, amen. And on Wednesday, I sounded a whole lot better than I sounded on Monday and Tuesday. Amen. So praise God for the way God has made us and how the body can heal itself from the miraculous way God made man. Amen. Well, how many have been enjoying this Psalm 121? I know I have. Amen. If you've not committed it to memory, I would encourage you, commit Psalm 121 to memory and let it guide you throughout this year. And may you say at every turn that my help comes from the Lord. Amen. Because that is the lasting help. That is the true help. That is really the help that you're going to need when life does take a turn for the worse. And today what I want to do is see how God is going to be our help and how he's going to preserve us and how that's going to happen. There is a way that God accomplishes preserving us. And sometimes it is miraculous. Sometimes he opens the Red Sea. Sometimes he allows you to walk on water. Sometimes he multiplies the five loaves and the fish. And sometimes he does the miraculous, opening the eyes of the blind. And other times he just does the ordinary. He just says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen. More times than not, it is not the miraculous, it is the ordinary. It is the ordinary supernatural word of God that he gives us to affect and to order our lives that we neglect, and oftentimes we scream out for the supernatural or the miraculous when all we needed was the supernatural word of God. And we neglect that, and so we're going to look at that today. It is the written word of God is mostly how God orders our life. Did you understand that? It is oftentimes the ordinary written word of God. I don't even like to use the word ordinary, amen, because it's supernatural. It's not ordinary. It's extraordinary, amen. But it is the word of God that he uses to affect the change in our life. He doesn't have to do the miraculous all the time because most of the miraculous is contained in his word. And if we would just exercise faith, the spirit of God, and step out, amen, God will do that which he needs to do. And oftentimes we don't need the miraculous. And so we're going to look at that. I'm going to draw a parallel from the psalmist's going out and coming in to our going out here in the early part of 2015 and being able, if the Lord tarries, to look back at the coming in or the year's end and say, man, God has kept me going out and coming in. Again, let's get real. Let's bring reality in here. Some of us that are sitting in this room may not see the end of 2015. Let's just be real. Jeremiah just shared with me they were about inches away from an accident this morning, going about 70 miles an hour. Not quite that fast. The other person was going that fast, head on, just that close. Just show you that the angels are already protecting our going out and our coming in. They're there to make sure that things happen the way they ought to. But I'm not so naive to think that some of us, our time may be approaching its end. Some expected and some unexpected. And God may call you home.
Yes, sir.
And so you may not be here. So you need to use every day to its fullest. And so as we're going out, we got to make sure that the Word of God is that which we live by and trust in. Our Lord can preserve us in any way He wants. But His will is to do it His way, not our way. And I am inclined to believe that oftentimes we want it our way. We want it our way. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
We want it our way. We think we know better than God sometimes. Or if we don't want it our way, we convince ourselves that our way is God's way. We say, God, I know this is your way, and so I'm going to walk in it. And then when trials come and tragedies come, we think, God, where you at? What happened? I thought you were my help. You're supposed to be my keeper, my preserver, my going out, my shade on my right hand. And the sun's not supposed to smite me by day or the moon by night. And look where I'm at. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy when it comes to that. What am I saying? Our Lord can preserve us, but He's going to do it His way and not ours. How? He's going to do it by His Word. And we're just going to recap very quickly what we've talked about already. In verse number 1, we saw the description of our help. We saw it's direct help from above. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. But then we saw it's a dynamic help from above as well. The psalmist got personal. He says, my help cometh from the Lord. And we saw my help, meaning He's my personal God. And then we saw it's a potential God. And then He's a perpetual God, cometh. And then He's a potent God, the Lord, Jehovah God. Amen. The self-existent one. And then we saw He also uses indirect help from below. He uses people. Then we looked at the depth of our help. He made heaven and earth, the Bible says. God is a making God, amen. So He's an omnipotent God, but He's also a moving God. He says, He may not suffer thy foot to be moved, because He doesn't move. We cannot be moved as well if we stick with the Word of God. Then we looked at He's an omnipresent help. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But then we also saw we have an omniscient God. He knows what we need, when we need it, why we need it, and how we need it. God is our shade upon our right hand. He says, the sun is not going to spite you by day, nor the moon by night. And we began seeing that sometimes the moon has its effect on people, and bad things can happen to good people. Then we saw that not only is He our shade, He's our shield. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thee from all evil. And we saw preservation from without and preservation from within. Our soul is comprising our mind, emotions, and our will, which brings us to the last verse. God is not just our shade and our shield. He is also our surety, our surety. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, He says here in verse number 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now think about this. In the technological age that we live, most of us would not think about going outside anywhere without our telephones. How many of y'all go out without your telephones? Most of us, we're not going anywhere without telephones. Some of y'all just don't want to admit it, but you know it's true. We're not going anywhere without our phones, our smart pads, unless we're in a restricted area or something like that. But you know what? God is our surety. He's more important than the phone. We're not going to go outside without clothes on. I mean, y'all go outside without clothes on. Not if you're in your right mind. You're in your right mind. You're not. Now, babies, you expect babies to go outside with no clothes on. They could care less. They'll rip that diaper off, boy, and boom. And they'll whip that thing around. They're just running, you know, butt naked. Woo-hoo! Look at this. And they have no shame. Adults, we would not expect that to happen. Hey, God's our surety. He's the assurance that we have when we go out and we come in. And we're going to look at some things here in verse number 8 when it comes to God being our surety. Notice what he says here, the Lord shall preserve thy going out. Now, the psalmist, again, this is a traveling psalm that most people believe, and the psalmist wants to make sure that God is protecting him, and he is traveling with this or going to Jerusalem for worship, and he says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out. Now, interestingly enough, the word preserve means to guard or protect or to shield or to hedge about. The same word translated preserve is the same word up in verse number 3 for keepeth. Notice that. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth, same word is preserve. Come down to verse number 5, verse number 4. Behold, he that keepeth, same word, preserve. Come down to verse number 5. The Lord is thy keeper, same word. Come down to verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee, same word as keep. It means to protect, hedge about, or to guard. Down to verse number 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out. So over and over, the psalmist is saying, the Lord's going to preserve me. He's going to guard me. He's going to protect me. He's going to hedge me about. He's going to keep me. Now, if he's going to do that, I think there's something that we ought to do. I think there's something that we need to do. The psalmist recaps again the depths and degree of God's help and why he's counting on God's help. And by the way, we're going to need it when the trials come in 2015. I guarantee you, you're going to say, my help needs to come from the Lord. You're going to need it when the tests come in 2014 and the tribulations come and the tough times. When they come, you're going to need some help beyond yourself. You're going to need a help that is beyond what you can do and beyond what you can buy and beyond what you can see and beyond what you can think and beyond what you can feel. My friend, you're going to need supernatural help. When you have a loved one sitting in the hospital, when you have a child who's sick of whatever it is, when you have lost your job, when you have lost a family member, when you have had those situations that are tough, that are tribulous, that are trying, you're going to need some kind of help that is beyond what you have already. When the turbulent winds of adversity blow into our lives in 2015 and life takes an unexpected turn for the worse and not for the better, we have to be able to say, my help cometh from the Lord.
Yes, sir, Pastor, that's right.
Because, friend, it can happen. God did not promise you a smooth 2015. He did not promise you a plenteous salary in 2015. He did not promise you illustrious health without sickness in 2015. He didn't promise that your wife would always be there. Your husband would always be there. He didn't promise that your children would always be there. He didn't promise they'd always get good grades. He didn't promise that you'd always get a raise. He didn't promise that, my friend, but he did promise to be with you. He said, lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Amen. So a lot of uncertainties in 2015. And as you're going out to things, and as you're coming in from things, you've got to be able to say, my help coming from the Lord. Now, I don't know what this year is going to bring to this preacher either. I have no guarantee that I'm going to be here at the close of this year. I have no guarantee that my wife is going to be here. I have no guarantee that my children will be here. I have no guarantee that my parents will be here. By the way, my parents are up in their 70s, so there's definitely no guarantee there. Amen. There's no guarantee. I don't even have a guarantee that I'll still be the pastor of this church at the end of 2015. Amen. Say, preacher, well, are you resigning? No, there could be a debilitating illness that comes over me where I can't preach. I am not immune to sicknesses, people. I am not immune to something that could take my life. I am not immune to something that could incapacitate me. Neither are you. But can I still say my help comes from the Lord? Can you still say my help comes from the Lord? When those things happen that you don't expect to happen. Because when those things happen that you don't expect to happen is when you need him the most.
Amen, Pastor.
Because it can happen.
Yes, sir,
I keep bringing up Isidore because it's oh so close. It was just last year this time she sat in these pews and sang in this choir. At this time last year. And now she's not here. What am I saying? Folks, we don't know what's going to happen. But the psalmist says, you know what, God, you're going to preserve my going out. You're going to preserve my coming in. What's this all about? Amen. Let's look at that. Because we're always beginning or ending some action or activity in our life. We're always going abroad or returning home from something. Most of us leave our homes on a weekly basis, and we need the protecting care of God in all that we do. Oftentimes, we're going out to battle the world at our jobs, or we're going to build a better life for ourselves, or we're going out into the world to buy something, or if nothing else happens, we're just out being a Christian.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
So whether you're battling the world, whether you're building a life for yourself, whether you're going out to buy something, or whether you're just being a Christian, guess what? You're going to leave your house. The psalmist is saying, when I go out, he is going to preserve me. When I come in, he's going to preserve me. Going out, outside with the preservation of God starts with the preservation of the Word of God. I'm going to draw a parallel. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy here. Most of you know this area. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Let me show you how this practically works in your life and in my life. This is not rocket science. This is not anything new. This is just applying what the Bible says. If my help's going to come from the Lord, if my help's going to come from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, if he's not going to suffer my foot to be moved, if he's going to keep me, if he's going to be my shade on my right hand, if he's going to be not going to let the sun smite me by day nor the moon by night, if he's going to preserve me from all evil, if he's going to preserve my going out, if he's going to preserve my coming in, and if he's not going to do it supernaturally or miraculously, God, how are you going to do it? By the word of God. By the word of God. Notice what the command was given to Israel in chapter number 6 of Deuteronomy. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded. Notice this. To teach you that ye might what? Do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments. My Bible still says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. Hey, friend, if you're here today, you don't have a healthy fear of God. May I help you out some? It's best that you get a healthy fear because he has the power of hell and death. He has the power to kill and destroy. Bible says, fear not man, but fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. You don't have a fear of God, I bet you need to get one real quick. Because he can take you and take your life just like that. If you're not born again, friend, guess what? You're in danger of going to a place called hell. Why? There is something called God's commands and God's laws and something that you have called sin that the two can't coexist in the presence of God in heaven. And the payment of sin and the penalty of sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus paid the penalty. What was the penalty? Was death. And what was the punishment? Hell. Jesus paid both the penalty and the punishment in hell. It was never meant for you, friend. Never meant for you. The payment and the penalty both were paid in Jesus Christ. If you had to pay it, it would take your life and your death in hell. And friend, so if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need that. You need to fear God. You need to fear hell. He says down there in verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, notice this, and thy son's son. So that's not just G2, but that's G2's children. Amen. And all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, the land that floweth with milk and honey. So God said, I've given you a promise. I want you to increase. I want you to be blessed. But wait a minute, there's a condition. It's not going to miraculously happen if you don't keep my word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's Jehovah God, Elohim, amen, Yahweh. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with how much of thy heart? All thine heart. How much of thy soul? All thy soul. What is the soul? The mind, the emotions, and the will. I need to love God with every fiber of my existence, with everything that I've got. I've got to love him. Not half-hearted. Not with a quarter of my heart. But he said, Israel, if you want my blessings, if you want to be preserved where you're going, if you want to have the possessions that I have already meant for you, if you want me to preserve you, and you see that you love me with all your heart. You see that you love me with all your soul. And with all thy might. In other words, with everything you got. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. He said, I don't want them just written down on paper. I want them in your heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe, do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Had not I command thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed.
The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What did he say? If you keep my word, I'll preserve you in your way that you go because you'll do what I'm asking you to do. They shall be in thine heart. This is where it begins to get more practical. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Come here for a second, G2. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes. So in other words, come here, G2. I need to have the word up here in my head. It said on his hand, put it right here. It says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontless between thine eyes. Notice this. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And so these are going to be the post of the gates. And so, G2, the word of God is here. G2, the word of God is here. G2, the word of God is here. It's on the post of the gates. It's on your frontlets. It's on your eyes. It's on your hands. All right? Now, G2, you're going to go out into the world. You're going to do some battling. You're going to do some building. You're going to build a life. Amen. You're going to go out and buy some stuff. Amen. You're going to go out and just be a Christian. But before you go, word of God is going to be posted on the doorposts. G2, as you go out, I want you to know, G2, that I love the Lord with all my heart. With all my soul, my mind, emotions, and my will. And G2, I'm teaching you about my God in heaven. I've got him on my hand. I've got him in my head. And I'm transferring my God to you, G2. Because I know one day you're going to go out and you're going to battle this whole wicked world. All right? Now I've equipped you, G2. I've given you everything. Now I want you to go out. Now you got to start inside the house first. Now, what does he have when he's going outside the house? He's got that on, got the word. He sees the word. As he's going out, he sees it here. It's on the gates. As he's going out the door, he sees it on the post of the house. So he's going out. I don't go too far now. So he's going out. All right, he's going out to battle. He's battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's battling the temptations of the world. He's going out to build himself a life. He's got a wife and kids. He's got to go out and make a living. He's got to be around promiscuous women. He's got to be around immoral women. He's got to be around filthy men and filthy mouths. He's got to go out into the world. He's battling. He's building. He's got to go into the supermarkets. He's buying some things, amen. He's been tempted to steal and change the prices, but he's got the word on his hand. He's got the word on his head, and he's got to go out and just be a Christian. And what happened with him? He left with the word. What does Psalmist say? The Lord shall preserve my going out. I'm going outside my home. I'm going outside the confines of my home. But I'm taking the word of God with me. Amen. I didn't leave it in a book. I didn't leave it on a pedestal. I didn't leave it with the preacher's pulpit. I'm taking the word. I see it. I've got it. My heart, my soul, my mind. I've got it. With all my heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So going out, the psalmist says, the word of God is going to preserve me. It's going to keep me. I'm leaving home. I see it on the post. I see it on the gates. Mom and dad has given it to me. Amen. I know what to do when I go out. Now I just have to do it. What did he say in verse number 2? Verse number 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to what? Do it. What did it say in verse number 7? And thou shalt teach them diligently. How can I teach it? Verse number 6, these words which I command thee this day, parent, shall be in thine heart. How's it going to be in my heart? Verse number 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. If I love him with all my soul, with all my mind, my emotions, my will, all my might, and I transfer that to my child, now the onus is on him. But as he goes out of my house, he's going out with the word of God. Now it's up to him to do it. Now when he comes back in, because he says, he shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. What is one of the first things he's going to see? Know what he can do? He can check and see, how did I do today? As I was out battling in this old wicked world and was confronted with all this sin, how did I do today? I can see. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not kill. How did you do?
Good.
Did good. You know? He says, when I go out, I'm not going by myself. Yes, he's going to preserve me. Yes, he's going to guard me. Yes, he's going to protect me. Yes, he's going to watch me. Yes, he's going to hedge me. But he's given me his word to do it. I don't need supernatural divine intervention of someone to hold my head and to make sure I don't look at sin and foolishness. I don't need an angel to come over and say, oh, you know, you shouldn't look at that. I just need the word of God. And I just need to obey it. I just need to do it. See, we get into trouble oftentimes because we just don't do it. He shall preserve thy soul. He's going to preserve you going out. So G2 can check and see how he did. As he's coming up here, he can check and see how he did. And he knows. Mom and dad's going to ask him when he gets out of school, what are they going to ask you, G2?
How did you do in school today?
He knows it. And if he goes out prepared already, if his going out has been saturated with the word of God, if he saw it on the post, if he saw it on the door, if he saw it on the gates, if it's on his hand, if it's on his head, he goes out, I know what to do. Amen. Now I just got to do it. And he knows when he comes back in, mom and daddy are going to ask him, how'd you do? How'd you do today? What were you tempted with today, son? What evils came your way today, son? What happened at school today, son? And like most kids, they want to tell you what happened with everybody else. Well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that and so-and-so. I don't really want to know about so-and-so. I want to know about G2. What did G2 do today? Now, I know what I should be doing. Hey, what did the psalmist say? He shall preserve thy going out. And I coming in. I'm coming in from the world. I've been battling the world. I've been building a life. I've been buying or being a Christian. And I'm coming back in. I can see how I've done. And that's why this is practical. Because as you're going every day of your life, if you want God's preservation, you've got to obey what God says. The same way G2's got to obey what we say. If he disobeys what we say, he knows that that's not good. Hey, wait a minute. Adult, when you go out here and battle the world, when you go out here and build a life, when you go out here and buy, when you go out here and just be a Christian, you have the same capability to have the word of God. Do you take it? Do you teach it to your children? If you don't take it, if you don't teach it, they have no defense against this wicked world. Don't expect God to miraculously protect them. They are going to be a pigeon in the hands of a wolf. The devil will take advantage of them if you send them out unprotected. But if he's got the word of God, if he's got it on his hand, if he's got it in his head, if he saw it on the post, if he saw it on the gate, you have done your job too quick. And the one thing you cannot do is make him obey. But you can sure send him out with all the protection. Hey, we can send our military out armed with bazookas and guns and nuclear weapons and drones and all this. But hey, if nobody's there to operate it, it does no good. If an aircraft doesn't get off the ground, it does it no good. If a missile is not shot, it does it no good. The defense now is in the operator. The psalmist said, I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence come my help. My help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, yes, he's not going to suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee is not going to sleep. I understand that. He that keepeth Israel, behold, he's not going to sleep, slumber, nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade, my right hand. The sun's not going to smite me by day. Moon's not going to smite me by night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. The Lord's going to preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and forevermore. How? By obeying his word. Folks, this is not rocket science. We oftentimes look for the supernatural. God, we want the miraculous. We want you to deliver us. We want this. Just walk in my word. Well, couldn't I have this or couldn't I be this? Just obey my word. We don't need miraculous, folks, oftentimes. We just need to obey what God has said to do. Thank you, G2. I appreciate that. You can take that off. What am I saying? This is now when it gets practical. Now, you have to ask the question. You're going to go out in 2015. You're going to go out into this wicked world. You're going to go out battling the world. You're going to go out building a life. You're going to go out buying. You're going to go out being a Christian. And you're going to come in from that. And can you turn back and look at the Word of God and see how you've done? At the end of your day, every day, can you look back and see what you've done? How you've done? How did you handle the immorality at your job? How did you handle the cursing? How did you handle the lying? How did you handle defending your God? How did you handle your faith? How did you handle being a witness? How did you handle adversity? How did you handle the trouble? Did you stand up for Jesus? How did you handle it? You can come back and say, look, my going out and my coming in, I've got the Word of God. I love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. I'm going to do it. And then check yourself when you come back at night. See how you did. See, the psalmist was confident in his God. The psalmist was also confident in doing what his God told him to do. Notice what it says down in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 8. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And as a result of that, God said, I'm going to bless. But he says, verse 12, beware, lest thou, what? Forget the Lord. Forget Jehovah. Forget the self-existent one. Forget the one who said, I am. Forget the one who said, he is. Forget the one who parted the Red Sea. Forget the one who got you here. Forget the one who blessed you. Forget the one who saved you. Forget the one that blessed you and rose you up again this morning. Forget the one who gave you life, who gave you breath, who gave you everything you have. Forget him. I'm talking about just anybody. I'm talking about forget God. Preacher, I would never forget God. When you forget his word, you forget him. Preacher, I don't like that. It's true nonetheless. True. What am I saying? The psalmist said this is important. Parent is more important than you think. Go over to Proverbs chapter 6. Because we want the blessings of God. We want the provisions of God. We want him to protect us. We want him to preserve us. And, oh yeah, the psalm is good. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help coming from the Lord. I understand that he made heaven and earth. I understand that he's not going to suffer thy foot to be moved. I understand that, but there's conditions. God says, you need to do what I'm telling you to do so I can keep you. Proverbs chapter 6. By the way, God can keep you either way. We talked about it in the marriage class today, Jonah. You say, what has Jonah got to do with marriage? What happens when you don't do right and God has to get your attention? Amen. And God, did God keep Jonah? Kept him intact in the belly of the whale, as intact as you can be in the belly of a whale. Now, I don't know about the whale's belly, but I know in my belly, I got acid. And when it's time to eat, guess what? I hear that. I hear those gases and those juices flowing, saying, give us food, give us food. And can you imagine Jonah in the belly of a place like that? If he had hair, it probably got burned off from the acid. Because the body's got to make acid to break the food down. Let's be honest. And if you know what comes out the other end, it's not smelling very good. God got him out before he got down too far. And so sometimes God has got to put you in a place where he can preserve you all right, but you may not like the way you got preserved. Pickled is more like it, amen. Notice Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 20. This is a wise father warning his son. As a matter of fact, notice verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, deliver thyself. Come down to verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Notice this. And forsake not the law of thy mother. What is he saying? He's saying, look, I'm giving you some laws. I'm giving you some commandments. Don't forsake my commandment. Don't forsake your mother's law, because you're going to go out and you're going to come back in. And when you go out and when you come back in, I want you to come back in one piece. I want you to go out and come back in unscathed by the world. I want you to go out and come back in without being beat up and battered by the world and given over to flesh and given over to the lust and given over to the world and being beat up and abused by Satan and his emissaries. My son, keep my commandment. Keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Why? When thou goest, what did he say? Thy going out, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Why is that so important? For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Psalm 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What is this wise father saying? He's saying, hey, son, I want to protect you. There's some commands you need to obey. There's some laws of your mother you need to adhere to. Why? There's a wicked world you're going to go out today. I want you to be preserved. Will the psalmist say, thy going out and thy coming in. God is going to preserve me. How does he do it? With the word of God. With the word of God. With the word of God. What does he say? From this time forth, from right now and forevermore. Go back to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, as we wrap this up, God is not just our shade and our shield, he's our surety. The Lord shall preserve thy going out. He's going to guard us, protect us, keep us, or he's going to make sure that we're protected in the way that we ought to be. Why? The Lord is Jehovah God. He's the self-existent one, and he can do it. But he says, I'm giving you my word, and you need to love my word with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Why? It's going to keep you with all your might. It's going to protect you. It's going to guard you. It's going to make sure that you don't do what you ought not do. I heard a sermon just this week about the weightiest commands of God. The weightiest commands of God are the commands that God tells us what not to do. He says you may be able to get by with doing some things, not doing some things that God told you to do, but you ain't going to get far doing things that God told you not to do. Think about it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. But then he said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, thou shalt not do these things. God's weightiest commands are the ones that come with a negative connotation. The other ones are important too. But you suffer a whole lot when you do what God told you not to do. When we send our children out, we're sending them out with the word of God. When we're sending them out, we're saying, hey, look, son, I'm not giving you any word but the word I'm keeping myself. I'm trying to do this thing. I'm trying to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. Son, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to teach you. Why? So that you can be preserved when you go out. So you can be preserved when you come in. May I submit to you that God's not your genie? May I submit to you that God's not your magician? God doesn't have to snap his finger and do something for you when he's already commanded what you should be doing. What am I saying? The psalmist says, you know what? The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. He's going to keep me from this time forth and even forevermore. From this time forth, if we put our whole trust and confidence in God, he will be our continual portion and defense in all places and in all times and all actions and life and prosperity and adversity and time and yea and death and yes and eternity. Amen. But we got to do our job. That's why I say it's practical. We don't mind saying the rest of this psalm. Oh, the Lord is going to be my keeper. He's going to be my shield and my health. And I'm just going to sit down and be grandma, be grandpa. Yeah, bless me, Lord. Bless me. Keep me, Lord. Keep me in my sin. I'm dabbling my sin. Lord, you better preserve me now. I got my sin here. Come on, keep me, Lord. Smoke my cigarette. Ooh, drink my beer. Lord, you preserve me now. Keep me in all my ways, Lord. Oh, I do my drugs here. Lord, you better keep me now. You're going to preserve my soul. Oh, no, 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 no. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
That's what we think sometimes. I'll just dabble in all my foolishness, dabble in all my sin. God's going to preserve my soul. He's going to be my keeper. He's going to be my shade on my right hand. Sun's not going to smite me by day, nor the moon by night. God, you said so. He also said, keep his word. He said, keep his word. Don't hand me this foolishness. Well, God, you weren't there when I needed you. God's always been there. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's always been there. We have just strayed away oftentimes. Hey, don't hand me this stuff when 2015 comes to a close and God wasn't there when I needed him the most. Yes, he was. It's just that you were somewhere you shouldn't have been because you didn't listen to what God said about doing it and keeping it and teaching it. Well, God, my children went away. What'd you do with them? Did you give them some frontlets? Did you put some things on their hands? Did you put some things on the posts? Did you put some things on the gates? Did you put some things so they could see when they were going outside the door and say, look, son, this is the way. Walk ye in it. If you didn't give them something, don't expect anything. Preacher, this is mean stuff. Folks, I'm trying to help you and be as practical as I can be. I don't think I can be any more practical than this. If you don't give them anything at all, give them the Ten Commandments. If you don't give them anything, give them that. Don't have any other gods before me, amen. Don't bow down to any graven images. Don't make them, amen. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. By all means, teach them, honor thy father and thy mother. I'm supposed to teach that? How else you think they're going to learn? They're going to get it at school. School tell you to turn them over to the CPS. The school say, if you spank your child, we're going to take him away from you. They're not going to teach them to honor you. Teach them, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness. If you don't teach them anything, put that in them. Amen. And say, go outside with that at least.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Well, wait a minute. Make sure you're doing it too.
Pastor.
Make sure you're doing it. I like the way Jesus did it. Jesus said, let me just take all these. Because they came to Jesus with a trick question. What is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, with all thy soul. He said, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two hang all the prophets and all the laws. If I'm going to love God and love my fellow man, I'm not going to do anything wrong against either one of them. Jesus said, I'll just give you two. And guess what? They were dumbfounded. Why? That's just right. That's just right. Now, I'm all for the Lord preserving us and having fun and saying, lifting up my eyes and our help. But you know, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble and tribulation and turmoil because we hadn't followed what God said. Amen or oh me. I'm just being honest with you, folks. Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, Paul said? Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble just because we haven't done what God told us to do. Now, sometimes trouble comes on us because God's trying to test us and test our faith and trying to get us stronger. I understand that. But sometimes we get ourselves into trouble by going out and thy coming in night and day and all thy business and undertakings and this through the whole course of life forevermore. The psalmist said, if I'm staying preserved by God, then there's something that I've got to do. I've got to do what Deuteronomy said. By the way, they didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the law of Moses at this time. So they understood what they needed to do. We just need to lift up our eyes and our voices and ask for the help of the Word of God. Then wait for the help that's there and read it and do it, and God will deliver. My help cometh from the Lord. I hope your help does as well come from the Lord. Psalm 55:2 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I submit to you that 2015 may not be as friendly to you as you think it ought to be. I submit to you that 2015 may bring some illnesses in your life. It may bring some unemployment in your life. It may bring some financial challenges in your life. It may bring some things that you necessarily would not have ordered for yourself. It may find you walking in the valley of the shadow of death, nigh unto death. What are you going to do? You going to throw in the towel and say God's unfair? No, I submit to you that we should keep the word of God. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What are we going to do in 2015 when the going gets tough? When we close out the end of the year, the Lord tarries his coming. By the way, you look at Israel, he ain't tarrying much longer. You look at the end of 2015 and we kind of look back and say, man, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, I would have perished. If it had not been the word of God, I would have given up. I don't know about you folks, but I want to make sure that not just me, but my house, we serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why? When my children go outside these doors, I can put in them when they go out so that when they come back in, we can test what they've done. When they go outside of your doors, you can do the same thing. Now, what they do outside those doors, you have no control over. But you can check them when you come back and say, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this one? You know God said not to do that one. They've got to develop a relationship with the Lord themselves. You can't go to heaven for them. They can't go to heaven for you. But you can put it in them. Brother Wilbur preached a message. I hope he preaches that one for popcorn about children and raising children. Very good message. Man, if he gets popcorn tonight, y'all want to be here for that message if he gets it. Brother, you preaching that one tonight? Very good message. Man, everybody needs to hear it. Good message. What am I saying? This is about us. But it's also about our children. When we go out, when we come in, when they go out, when they come in, at the close of this year, they will be a year older, a year wiser, but will they be a year more spiritual? We know they're going to be older. We know they're going to be wiser. But will they be more spiritual at the close of 2015? Will they be able to handle the adversities, the trials, the tribulations, the tough times? Will they be able to stand against the tests of time? The sun's going to try to smite them by day. The moon's going to get them by night, the lunatics. Got lunatics during the day, too. Moon don't bother them no bit at all. Amen. Hey. What does Psalmist say? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Lord is thy keeper. He's a protector. He's a guard. Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Lord shall preserve, keep, protect thee from all evil. He shall preserve, keep, protect, guard thy soul. Lord shall keep, protect, or guard, preserve thy soul, thy going out, thy coming in, this time forth and even forevermore. Yes, God will do his part. The question is, will we do ours? Will we do ours? If we do our part, God's going to do his part. Yes, we may go through adversity, but it'll be a whole lot easier in the will of God than out of the will of God. If you're here today and you're not born again, you need to be saved, first of all. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. You haven't been preserved yet until you've been preserved from the fire of hell. He can guard you, protect you, or keep you from hell. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one, God Almighty is the one who you need to repent toward him and have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You need to repent, turn of your sins, turn from your sins and turn to a holy God. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. And friend, that will preserve you from hell. That's the first preservation that you need. But then second of all, he can preserve you in this life as well. And in the next. But you need to be born again. If you're not born again, I encourage you, would you come and let us show you how you can be saved today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Now, Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for this psalm that we can reflect upon throughout this year. And Lord, thank you that we can look at the goodness of our God. And Lord, thank you that our help does come from you, our Lord. And Lord, you won't suffer our foot to be moved. You're not going to slumber. You're going to keep us. But Lord, we've got to be in the way that you have put us in. And Lord, so I pray for every man, woman, boy, or girl that's here. They're going to go out and do something this year. They're going to go out, whether it's battling the world or building a life or buying something that they need or just being a Christian. They're going to go out. They're going to come back in at the nighttime. Lord, help them to come back in from their battling and their building and their buying and their being to be able to check themselves by the word of God and repent and confess the areas of weakness and call them under the blood. But then, Lord, maybe there's someone here today that's never been born again, never been saved, and they need to get saved today. And I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, you trouble their heart, trouble their soul. They may get saved. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never been born again. I've never been saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me." Amen. I see two hands. Are there more? Join these two. Anybody else saying, "I've never been born again, never been saved. Pray for me, preacher." Amen. You may put them down. Those of us that are here, how about it? "Preacher, I don't know what 2015 is going to bring my way, but I want to be preserved. I want to be protected. I want to be guarded. Preacher, pray for me that I could stay in God's will. When I get out of God's will as a loving father, preacher, pray that he remind me to stay in his will. Pray for me, preacher." You raised that hand. 2015 is a long way off towards the end. Preacher, pray for me. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Amen. And we're honest, all of us should be praying that way. You may put them down. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment when Brad begins to sing. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, "God, I don't know what's going to happen in 2015, but I know this. I want to do right. I want to be preserved. I want to be kept. Lord, help me to keep your word and to do it. And when I stray, Lord, help me to get right." Father, bless now. This invitation time, there's two that said they need to be saved. And Lord, I pray you speak to those two hearts. Help them not to leave until they get it settled. Then many raised their hands saying that 2015 is unknown to them. They want to make sure that you're the shade on their right hand and the sun is not going to smite them or the moon by night. You're going to preserve them from all evil. You're going to keep their soul. Lord, they have to be walking in accordance to your word. And Lord, when those tough times come, you'll give them what they need, that protection, that guarding. Never said you'd spare us from being hurt or harmed, but Lord, you did say you'd keep us in all our ways. So help us, Lord. Those that raise their hands, Lord, give them the assistance that they need. They may do right. Those that need to be saved, save them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. God spoke in your heart as Brad sings. You come.
All to Jesus I surrender.
God spoke in your heart. Just slip out from where you're at.
All to Him.
Come find your place down the old-fashioned altar.
Give.
Lay your petitions at the Lord's feet.
I will ever.
Lord, I don't know what 2015 is going to hold.
Him in his
but I do know this.
Daily.
I want to stay in your word. I want to stay in your will.
I surrender.
I want to do right. Maybe you raise your hand and say you're not born again, you're not saved. Would you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Would you slip out, come right down, we'll get someone to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. How you can be born again today. The choice is yours. Do you have a testimony about being born again? Can you go back to a place and a time when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Would you come? Would you come? Maybe you've been recently saved. You need to come forward for baptism.
Take me, Jesus.
Would you come?
Take me now.
I surrender all.
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee.
Christians are praying.
Blessed Savior.
I surrender all.
I surrender.
Parents, how are we doing with teaching our children the Word of God? Are they as frontlets for their eyes? Are we binding it on their hands? Are we putting it on the posts of doors? On the gates? In other words, are we surrounding them with the Word of God? We don't surround them with the Word of God. We can't expect them to get the Word of God. How about it? How about it? I surrender all. I surrender all. Don't you want the children to have the same faith that you have? Serve the same God you serve. They're going out. They're coming in to be preserved like yours. Hey, it's not going to come unless we give them the tools to do it. Moses was instructed, teach them diligently. Help them diligently. diligently instruct them to do it.
Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing
I surrender
fall
all, is the song.
On me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Work in our lives. Lord, help us in this 2015 early months to make sure, Lord, that our way is preserved by obeying what you have told us to do. Lord, you said then our way would be prosperous. Then we would have good success. Lord, help us to keep the word of God not just before us, loving you with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, but, Lord, then teaching it to our children diligently, or the word of God, that they can go out and come in, as the psalmist said, having the surety of God Almighty being on their side. Work in us, work through us, perfect us by your word, by your spirit, in Jesus' name.